Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Think about that with me, if you will. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and gave her this strange message. And what was her response? She was perplexed. I looked for synonyms of perplexed and found the following words: puzzled, confused, mystified, confounded, stunned, baffled, thrown, bewildered, stumped, flummoxed, befuddled, disconcerted. Not one scared or frightened or afraid or fearful or terrified or petrified in the dozen descriptions of how Mary felt. Any or all of those would be my response to the angelic visit with that message. Mary wasn't even anxious. She has been described as a poor, young, innocent girl. I have done so in sermons. But really, really? She apparently was young and relatively poor. But she was self-assured and ready for a further explanation, a conversation with the angel Gabriel. We could even say she was poised and composed. So, Providing further explanation, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Wow. Wow. Putting myself in Mary's place leaves me feeling astonished, astounded, staggered. How would you respond to this message if you received it? How would you have responded to this statement as a young, single, betrothed, and relatively poor woman? Well, here's how Mary responded. "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Here, I give you my life in obedience, but I do it willingly, freely, readily, voluntarily. Let it be with me according to your word. You're in charge of me, Lord. You're in charge of this situation you've created. You're in charge of my future. You're in charge of my whole life. The Reverend Nancy Rockwell comments in an online article from 2015 entitled, "No More Lying About Mary." It is Mary's grace that has attracted God's attention. And what is this grace? It is what Luke shows us in her conversations and her actions. Courage, boldness, grit, ringing convictions about justice, not submissive meekness. Grace is not submission, and the power of God is never meek. I'm not sure that I agree entirely with Pastor Rockwell about Mary not having been submissive to God's will, but she certainly subordinated her will, her plans for her life, even her self-conception, her ego, which was sorely challenged by her community's response to her pregnancy out of wedlock. She subordinated that, all of that, to God's will for all. And she most certainly did it in a grace-filled manner. Then, in 8 verses of Luke's gospel, not included in our readings today, verses 39 to 46, we learn that Mary ran. She set out and went with haste, is the way Luke describes her journey, to be with that relative Elizabeth, who Gabriel told her was also pregnant. Was Elizabeth joyous? Yes, but she also probably was somewhat ashamed because she was a pregnant older woman who, with her priest husband, Zechariah, had not conceived a child during their years of marriage. And they were getting on in years, as Luke says in the first chapter, 7th verse. They had lived through the years of shame in not producing an heir. And now, when she should have stopped bearing children, she was carrying her first. But she was in good company, wasn't she? We know from biblical passages, at least, about Sarah, who birthed Isaac when she was 90 years old, and Hannah's late life child, Samuel. So Mary heard Gabriel's news and understood that a welcome home was available to her at this time that really would require huge adjustment in her mind, in her heart, in her spirit. Her situation might have felt somewhat like our mid-March need to enter self-isolation felt to us. Sudden, unfamiliar, unknown, uncertain. So Mary went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth blessed her. And Mary's immediate response was the extraordinary testimony that we have come to call the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.